Breaking news, the president announces by Twitter last night that he will be suspending immigration to the United States temporarily while we deal with beating the coronavirus. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Trump announcing plans to temporarily suspend all immigration into the U.S. amid the coronavirus pandemic, calling it a necessary step to defend American workers in this crisis.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Those bans save thousands or tens of thousands of American lives. And so the president is not going to take political decisions here, but he's going to look at how he can protect Americans both economically and protect their health. And so this is a temporary issue, just like the prior bans were temporary, and we're doing it to keep the American people safe.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Let me read the tweet from President Trump. It was last night. In light of the attack from the invisible enemy, of course, that's the COVID-19, the coronavirus, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I'll be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. Now, we have not gotten word yet that executive order has or has not been signed. We expect it will be signed today and that we'll get a report about that. But this is already drawing criticism from the left. Now, remember, the president oftentimes points out that it was the same Democrat liberals in Congress who criticized him for banning the travel from China and then banning the travel from Europe, which now the doctors like Fauci and Birx and the CDC have said are really the main reason why the U.S. has not had a worse outbreak of COVID-19, which gets us to a second point where you have a number of states starting to plan their reopening as soon as this end of this week. And many are planning reopenings on Monday, letting the stay-at-home orders expire. Now, what does that mean? We're going to break that down. That does not mean that your city or your county will necessarily be completely open. That's the governors allowing those county and city officials to start making those decisions because they're allowing those stay-at-home orders to come to a close. That's not every state, by the way. That's only a handful of states, but we'll update you on that. We'll also update you on the what's happening with the legislation, the payment protection plan. Will it move through the Senate and get a vote today? Will it get a vote in the House this week? How soon will those loans be available? We will update you on that directly from Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill with the latest on that legislation for that stimulus that goes right to the American people as we are all battling COVID-19 and trying to see some light at the end of this tunnel. News reports that Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, may be in serious health danger after a heart surgery. Now, again, CNN reported this. There's not been a lot of other confirmation, but we're going to talk about what would the ramifications be if he was out of pocket for an extended period of time, or if this was truly something that turned fatal. What would that mean for North Korea? We're going to bring on Skip Ash, senior military analyst and attorney with the ACLJ to discuss it. So, Dad, there's a lot to talk about today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, there is, and of course, the immigration story is the one that's making the biggest news right now. But we will, of course, also answer your questions on the stimulus. We still have those coming in. But look, the president's taking action because as we look at the situation and try to reestablish some sense of new normalcy in the United States, the president is looking at a temporary ban on immigration because right now you don't know who's been exposed. This is a worldwide pandemic, and a pause, which is what this is, a pause is appropriate. That's all we're talking about. That's my understanding of what we're talking about, is this going to be a temporary pause while we continue to work on therapeutics and ultimately a vaccine, which will ultimately be the way in which this is curtailed. But I think this is the appropriate action. I'm all in favor of legal immigration. I'm a big proponent of legal immigration. But I think there are times in our nation's history where pauses are necessary, and this is one of them.
And by the way, the Fifth Circuit again has halted Planned Parenthood from conducting most elective abortions in Texas as the nationwide battle for life rages on. That blog is up at ACLJ.org. We filed a brief in that case. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's our matching challenge. Donate online at ACLJ.org. Double your impact. ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Just read it out for you one more time from the president. This came last night in from Twitter. Quote, in light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I'll be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. Notice the word there, temporarily, but it's already coming under attack from the left, just like those decisions to stop travel from China, to stop travel from Europe came under attack. The left is already seizing on this, that again, this is somehow about his base eroding, which it doesn't make any sense at all. That was something from Dan Pfeiffer, a former Obama political advisor. That's not what this is about. This is about protecting Americans' jobs as we begin to reopen and making sure that Americans get the first crack at those jobs that become available because people have been unemployed, and then it's only a temporary ban. It also is for our safety. If we have flattened our curve, if we're at a point where we're starting to reopen, as states are, and we can go state by state now and tell you about that. If you have specific questions about your state, we can answer those questions today now because of what your governors are starting to say. You want to make sure we're in the safest, we're doing it in the safest way possible, and we can't rely on what other countries, especially countries like China and other European countries, have done to curb this.
Well, here's the thing that I think you got to realize, and the question is, why would you put a pause in place now? You put a pause in place now because what's happening in Europe and other countries, China included, but other parts of the world, is inconsistent approaches to the pandemic. So why would you import more medical difficulties at this particular time? You have worldwide confirmed cases of 2,500,000 cases. In the United States, it's 788,000. You have worldwide 171,000 deaths. In the U.S., it's 42,458 as we're on the air live with you. So why not take a pause out, get all the testing in place, making sure that's going to work. Now their FDA's authorized the first at-home coronavirus test. So why not take those precautions? Remember, Nancy Pelosi, when the president closed down the travel from China, went to Chinatown and basically said the president was xenophobic, everybody should come out to Chinatown. Now, she subsequently took that off of her website. Why'd she take it off her website? Because guess what? 2 weeks later, the pandemic was all over here. So, again, I think this points to the reality of why a temporary pause in favor. Again, I am a huge advocate, a really big advocate of immigration, legal immigration. We're a country built on immigration. But there are times in our history, this is one of them, where you have to take action. Than, what's the reaction in Washington?
Well, predictably, Jordan, the left is up in arms about this, really with just a knee-jerk reaction. And I think context is very important here, because these are the same critics, Jay, who were standing in the way of this administration trying to get better operational control of the border. And I would just tell you, if there were better operational control of the border, this pause might not be necessary, or it might not need to be as serious or as drastic as is being proposed now. But Jay, for the very same people who did not want to give DHS and Border Patrol control of that border to now rise up and say, we're the ones that stood in the way of operational control, and now you cannot step in and try to stop the spread of this infection. Jay, I just think it's disingenuous, but I will tell you, it has been knee-jerk, it has been quick, it has been swift, and quite frankly, before we've even seen text of the executive order, we've got dozens of members of Congress saying they're opposed to it, rather than evaluating the merits of what eventually comes out.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most ridiculous responses came from Congressman Joaquin Castro of Texas. He said, this action, this is a direct quote, is not only an attempt to divert attention away from Trump's failure to stop the spread of the coronavirus and save lives, which, again, right there is a falsehood. But listen to this part. But an authoritarian-like move to take advantage of a crisis and advance his anti-immigrant agenda. We must come together to reject his division.
Well,
this
what would they
is
do?
Not a permanent ban on immigration. This is a temporary ban on immigration, just like we have a temporary ban on international travel right now. How would you immigrate if you can't travel? I mean, but again, they use words like authoritarian, that he's already, by the way, Dad, if you notice in that statement, and President Trump has noted this will be the case for the left, that he's already failed when it came to the COVID-19. It's already been a failure, even though we're already talking about states opening back up and looking like it could be a fairly normal fall, maybe a little bit bizarre summer, but a fairly normal fall for most of the country.
Well, certainly for parts of the country. I think it's. I don't want to get premature on what the fall looks like. I think we got to be careful on pre-planning that. But I think, yes, you're going to see the country opening up. But in the process, you've got to curtail the problem. And the problem is what? Well, it's an internal problem. We've got a spreading disease. It's still spreading. Hopefully, in a lot of areas, it's reached its peak. New York, fortunately, looks like they're on the downside. New Jersey, Connecticut. But there's other parts of the country that it's just starting to peak now. And I think what we have to do is say, okay, what is the president doing, and is it constitutional? First of all, it's constitutional. He has the constitutional authority to do this. Isn't prudent? Sure, it's prudent. It's prudent in the context of, in the middle of a pandemic, let's not add a complex nature of a pandemic where we have to check people coming in, check their medical records, give them tests, just take a pause for a little bit. We're not talking about, he's not talking about 2 years here. He's talking about months. To get our hand around how we reopen the United States of America, which the president's trying to do, which we all want to see happen, but it's got to happen in a particular way. And adding immigration aspects to it right now would be dangerous. It would put, I think, people in harm's way, including our own citizens. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We also have massive unemployment right now. I never thought we'd be saying that because the economy was so robust. But we have 22 million unemployed. So, I mean, these are just... To me, these are just measured, prudent things to do in the time when you have a crisis. And we're in a pandemic, we're in a crisis, and I think that's the way it should be. We have a good call coming in on that on line three.
Yolanda calling in from California on line three. Yolanda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Yolanda. Thank you for your work.
Sure.
My question is, will this immigration pause affect cases that are here at USCIS at this time, such as like the fiancé visas, are those going to get halted, or will that work continue?
We don't know what the effective portion is going to be. In other words, we just know I haven't seen the executive order draft, so I can't speak directly to it. So I don't know if they're going to say if you're in process or finance, fiancé visas, things like family visitation may be allowed. That's different than immigration. So I don't know. I mean, we'll need to see what the order says. The idea here is, though, to reduce inflow coming outside of the country while we try to get our handle on a pandemic. And that's what I think that's the policy reason on why they're doing it.
And remember, this is codified into law. The president had to fight this on, remember, the travel ban, and he won at the Supreme Court. And part of the reason why he won is the Immigration and Nationalization Act of Section 212F says that the president has the power to ban travel or ban entry into the United States from any individual who is a detriment to U.S. interest. And right now, because of the COVID-19 and this pandemic, which has spread around the world, as he likes to talk about, 184 or 185 countries so far that have active cases, that would certainly be a potential that those individuals are detrimental as we are working hard as Americans to beat this pandemic in our country first so that we can reopen our businesses for Americans, but also for the world, so we can begin exporting more goods, importing more goods as well. So it helps the whole world if America's economy gets back on track. And I think that's something that the left forgets. It helps the people who may not be able to get the immigration entry right now, but it helps everyone around the world economically if America's economic engine gets back to roaring once again. Yep. And it's ready to turn on. What we've heard from our economic leaders is that because we were at such great economic numbers before this, it's ready to turn on. We've got to do it the right way.
So Than, because we got a lot of calls coming in the PPP situation. We'll take those in the next half hour of the broadcast. We got a special section coming up. We want to talk about the situation in North Korea, at least for part of that broad segment. What is the likelihood of something happening this week?
Yeah, shortly before we came on air, Jay, Leader Schumer indicated that he does think the Senate will be able to pass the agreement. We haven't seen the parameters of the agreement. I assume it will be somewhat along the lines we discussed yesterday, maybe to the tune of $500 billion total package. But Leader Schumer said he expects the Senate will be able to clear that this afternoon. Jay, they're scheduled to come into session at 4 o'clock p.m. It won't surprise me if that slips a little bit later. The House, Jay, is scheduled to come in on Thursday at 10 a.m. They anticipate taking it up at that time, assuming there is a deal. And Jay, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, but there might be a vote on proxy voting or remote voting as well. We haven't seen those details, but it is expected to be voted on in the House on Thursday morning.
Very good.
All right, folks, when we come back, we will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into this North Korea issue as well. Remember, April is a matching challenge month. Your donations go to keeping this broadcast on the air, keeping us in court, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. If you're financially able to right now, it's a great time to donate, and donate online at ACLJ.org.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are, of course, going to continue to answer your calls. A lot of people on the lines right now to answer your calls about the payment protection plan, the new legislation moving forward in Congress as we speak. We hope the Senate is able to pass this today, and then ultimately the House possibly by Thursday, so that those funds, which have completely dried up, can be, again, kind of refunded, if you will, to the tune of about $350 billion. But again, that has not occurred yet. So we're going to answer your questions about that. But there was breaking news yesterday evening about Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, who has not been seen in a few days, reported to have undergone heart surgery, pretty young to go under heart to have heart surgery. But at the same time, we know someone who's not in great health, and you could kind of see that by looking at him, but he has not been in great health and has had other health concerns. And then reports coming out from CNN, from U.S. sources, that he could be, quote, in grave danger. Now, there's not a lot more confirmation on that. North Korea is very quiet about it. South Korea does not have a lot to add to it. This is coming from U.S. Reports, but there's already starting to see some power shifts in, like, who would be the next leader? Could it possibly be the sister who we've seen around at some of those bilateral meetings between the President of the United States and Kim Jong-un? We're bringing in Skip Ash now, senior military analyst and senior counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice. And Skip, I think my first question to you is, how serious would it be for North Korea to lose a leader like Kim Jong-un this quickly?
I think it would be very serious. Remember that he's in his mid-30s, probably 36, and so he has no grown children. So who would be the successor? It's a Korea, both North and South, is basically a Confucian-based society. Even the communist portion falls back traditionally on the Confucian ethic, and the Confucian ethic frowns on having females in charge, and it looks like his sister is his would be the strongest candidate from a Western perspective to take over. But the idea is that they have created a dynasty, and who's the next to take over? Remember, Kim Jong-un had his half-brother killed, and he killed his uncle, so he's already purged the family, and we don't see anybody besides his sister who could be a potential candidate for taking over.
So, Skip, I wanted to follow up on that one, too, because one of the things that you've said before on this broadcast, and people need to understand, is that in North Korea, the dynasty is viewed almost as deity.
That's exactly right. If you, some of us are old enough to remember the cult of personality type things of the communist world, where they would raise up this one leader and deify him. Well, Korea has never gotten out of that. The Kim family, starting with Kim Il-sung, going Kim Jong-il and now Kim Jong-un, is a hereditary monarchy, so to speak. It's a hereditary system, where in most communist countries that's not the case. But what they have done is they created this mystery around this aura around this family, and the people treat him as if he's deity. They've written songs about him. Children sing songs about him in school. When you go home to eat, if you sing a song before a meal, the song has to do, it's one of a number of songs that are written about Kim Jong-un and how he is so good for everybody and how they owe their entire existence to him. So this would be catastrophic if there's no easy replacement were he to pass off the scene.
What does it mean geopolitically and militarily in a situation like what happens when you've got this kind of alert coming? What does the military do internally?
Well, what's interesting to me is that the South Koreans have said they've seen no indicia of higher rates of on the military in North Korea, which is a good sign, I think. But from the South and South Korea and that area of the world, I would think that there's been some concern expressed within the U.S. Armed Forces, the Korean Armed Forces, and I bet that they're keeping closer watch on this, and I bet leaves may have been canceled and things like that to make sure that the forces are ready to go if anything erupts.
Is there a sense, Skip, that in a situation like this, when you've got the military and the geopolitical impact, If you're South Korea, and we know what they've said, but if you're on that same peninsula, what are you thinking right now? And we got a huge military presence there to help. What are they thinking?
I would think the South Koreans would be very low-key, because they don't want to upset the North in case something has happened. They would probably be sending out messages to make sure that everything's ready to go, that the vehicles are ready, ammunition is ready. You go through your SOPs, your standard operating procedures, to go and make sure that everything is ready to be executed should something happen. But they're going to do it on a very low-key basis. Politically, they're going to reach out and try to send signals that nothing, that they're not a threat to the North if anything's happening. But at the same time, they have to have their forces ready.
Let me ask one last question here, Skip, and that is this. If something were to happen, and again, this is speculation, we'd risk getting the reports from CNN and other sources, if he were to pass and not be they'd have a new leader, any chance of reform, or is it just not likely?
I think in the short term, it's not going to be likely. The person who takes over is going to want to ensure that he or she has absolute power in that society. Once you have absolute power, then you might be able to open up or soften some of the rules. But the first thing they want to do is to make sure that they're firmly in power.
Yeah. All right, Skip, we appreciate it. You served in South Korea on the DMZ, so you know this area well. We appreciate you calling in today.
My pleasure.
All right. So, Jordan, Than, I think that, look, it's another geopolitical complication in the middle of a already complicated geopolitical scene.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the world doesn't stop, though it feels like it, I think, for a lot of people. The world's geopolitical concerns and issues, think about the oil negotiations the president has had to do. The crude oil is below $0 right now. I mean, it's temporary, but he's had to negotiate that with Russia and Saudi Arabia, who are kind of going at war with each other through oil prices and production, because people are not using oil the same way. They're not driving as much. The planes are not flying as much. There's not as much shipping. The factories aren't running the same way. I mean, you can go down the line. All of these issues still come up. And of course, we still have to secure ourselves with national security concerns like North Korea while we deal with these pandemics. You can't just say, and that's why the president is spending a considerable amount of time informing the American people and working very hard with his team on the pandemic. But you have to remember, and Than, I mean, I think this is the bigger point. You got kind of Congress to work on that for the American people. The president kind of leading that with the vice president, the team that they've built. But then you've got this other apparatus of our federal government, which is to keep us safe, State Department and these national security elements, to keep us safe and track what's going on geopolitically. We can't forget what's going on during a pandemic.
Yeah, I think about the situation in North Korea, Jordan, and it's going to create two main considerations for the administration, one on the security side, one on the humanitarian side, and then also having to balance what China and South Korea are both going to do in a situation where there's a vacuum in North Korea. All of that to say, Jordan, I really think it's important for Congress to stay focused on the pandemic response so that the administration and their Article II powers can focus on situations like the one in North Korea. Look, when you get distracted politically, like we've seen in the last week, Jordan, it has consequences. It's time for leaders in Washington to focus on what they're supposed to be focused on.
So, folks, when we come back, we've got so many questions on the stimulus funds, on the checks, on the payment protection plan. We're going to take all those questions. Second half hour coming up on JSecio Live. Remember our matching challenge. If you're financially able to do it, donate online at aclj.org. Double the impact your donation at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, whether you are listening on your radio station, Sirius XM, or watching on Facebook and Periscope. We appreciate that. We've got so many questions coming in about the stimulus, about a payment protection plan. I want to go to Missy's call on line three, calling from North Carolina. Missy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to know, how do you think the immigration pause will affect the farmers getting their laborers in to get the crops out?
Now, I think that's a great question. So it's going to depend on the nature of how this thing is, how the immigration ban, if you will, or pause is put in place. Does it have exceptions for temporary work situations? Or is it the people that are here are not going to be shipped out, so you don't have that situation? We haven't seen it yet. I think what the president's trying to do, and it makes sense, is to put a pause on inflow right now, because we've got to get a better handle, not on just the containment of the disease, but making sure we don't increase spreading opportunities. States are starting to open up. We're seeing that. Tennessee, Georgia, Florida a little bit, and some others. And these are very incremental openings, so I don't want to overplay that. But there is this incremental opening of our economy. You can't have oil at zero or less for weeks and weeks and months on end. I mean, the economic impact of that would be disastrous. On the other hand, you cannot have a new spike in cases nationally. So you've got a lot of balancing that's going on here. And what this does is just says, time out. Let's figure out what we have. Let's not allow inflow right now while we determine what the situation is. And I think it's just a measured response to an evolving situation.
Yeah, and I also think it allows you to allocate resources where they're needed most. I think this goes to both the question about ag workers and then also the caller we had previously about a fiancé visa. Jay, there's nothing to say that the paperwork in both of those situations couldn't continue and they'd be ready to go when we were able to handle them. And, you know, with the ag workers, so many of them are seasonal. I would anticipate, again, I haven't seen the language, but maybe you could have those processed and ready to go. And once we were able to properly mitigate against the risk of COVID influx at bringing the workers in, then they'd be ready to go in an expeditious manner. So, Jay, let's see how it's written, but I anticipate it would be something like that, because physical arrival of a person in the United States is sort of a different question to whether or not the paperwork and the bureaucracy happens behind the scene. I suspect it would continue on the latter.
Yeah, I think that's right. Jordan, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a call, too, I think, and I appreciate Briggs from Florida holding on line one. Briggs, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, guys. Just a question, two quick questions about stimulus check. My daughter has joint custody with her granddaughter, with her ex-husband, and they alternate years on when they claim their granddaughter. This year was my ex-son-in-law's year to claim her. So he's receiving, as far as I understand, the extra $500 for her. The complicated part of that is that my daughter's had to have him in court a couple of times because he's not paying any funds to her. Is there any way that she can receive some of that funds, or how is that done?
Briggs, to me, what that looks like, that situation looks like to me, is a situation where you're looking at child support issues. So it wouldn't be necessarily those specific $500, but if she's having trouble receiving child support, you can absolutely go to court over that. So, and of course, the $500 would be intermixed amongst whatever amount he owes. That's very taken very seriously in the United States. So I think that's probably the best option there. It's not so much about the $500 or $600 extra dollars. It's about the overall aspect that you pointed out, that she's having trouble with him, and she's in the past had trouble with him paying child support. So if that's currently an issue, I think that's the best route to take. But she needs to talk to an attorney to work through this. And I'm sure she knows one, because she's had to do this before her ex-husband. So, again, I encourage you there. 1-800-684-3110. Next segment coming up, we're going to continue. People have lots of interesting questions. 1-800-684-3110. We will be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Dan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're discussing a variety of topics today. One of the most important of which, Jordan, is this expansion of the Paycheck Protection Program that is going to be considered in both the Senate and the House this week, as well as some additional funding for hospitals and testing and some other small business loans. During the break, Jordan, I was going back and forth with some sources on the Hill, and it does look like the Senate is going to take this up. We still haven't seen the parameters of the deal, but they're still hoping to get this done before the, quote, dinner hour. And then the next time that the House would have an option to take that measure up would be on Thursday morning. And Jordan, it's going to be interesting because right now it sounds like Speaker Pelosi wants to couple consideration of this package with a proposal to do some type of remote voting. Now, maybe the snag there is she's not yet told Republicans on the Hill what that's going to look like, if it would be teleconferencing voting, if it would be proxy voting, or what it may be. And Jordan, my concern with that, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, but my concern with that is I think some type of remote voting proposal would be very bipartisan. But if you spring it on the minority party without telling them what's in it, without incorporating them, it's going to be very hard to get bipartisan approval. So let's watch for that as we head towards Thursday.
Yeah, it's not as simple as it sounds. You need to know exactly what the parameters are. So what is the quorum? What does it mean to have a quorum to pass legislation? What would that look like for remote voting? Or how would somebody, kind of represent 10 or 12 votes and bring that to Washington, D.C.? So all those different ways you could be doing this. And then who initiates it and when does it stop? Remote voting. So, like, what are the reasons why you would have remote voting? Okay, a pandemic, that makes sense, but is it broadly written or is it narrowly tailored? And then when does it come to a close? Kind of like, not that you can necessarily predict when this one will come to a close, but how does it come to a close? Who has the power to do that? And is it all in one party's hands, or is it kind of a bipartisan decision? Because I do think what the American people want to see is their Congress working through this on overtime. And if they can do that better remotely, that's wonderful, but they've got to get that out to all the members, or else, as you said, Than, the responsible thing to do would be to vote no on it if you don't get to see what you're voting on. And Nancy Pelosi loves those, just vote now and find out what's in it later. And people are not going to be burned by that and trust that ever again from Nancy Pelosi. They didn't trust it even with the Affordable Care Act. Her own party did. That was it. But Republicans, again, I think that's the reason why they cannot be left out of these processes. And it's part of that partisanship in America, which is just so upsetting at this time when we should be united and figure this out. But then I want to walk through and then start taking our phone calls now. Just walk through currently what the Senate is proposing financially, because the numbers kind of fluctuate a little bit each day that we report it. What money has already gone out through PPP, and what money is going to go back in now that that money is gone?
Yeah, the last stimulus package, Jordan, had a total of $376 billion for small business loans. The vast majority of that, $349 billion of it, was through that Paycheck Protection Program, PPP. And that is the program that has been exhausted. That is the one that should have been extended last week. It went very quickly. Last week, the Senate had proposed an additional $250 billion for that. But the Democrats in both the House and the Senate blocked it. So, of course, as we go along, Jordan, the amount that is needed increases because more small business applications come in. Currently, it sounds like the package that the House and Senate and Secretary Mnuchin are close on having agreement on would be a total package of about $500 billion. Probably about $350 billion of that would be in the Paycheck Protection Program. The rest of it would be for hospitals and testings and some other nuanced small business loans. But it looks like, Jordan, the total package would be about $500 billion, and about $350 billion of that would be through that PPP program. But again, I mean, how many times have we been down this road, Jordan? Until we see the legislation, it's very tough to say if that's going to move a little bit before we get legislative language.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lori in Michigan. Thanks for holding on, Lori, on line four. I think we can answer your question for you. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. I was wondering about I haven't worked since 2015. That was the last time I had to file income tax. And they have all my direct deposit and everything, and I've been getting Social Security, but I make less than $8,000 a year. That's, you know. So I was wondering, will I get that direct deposit or by check, or is there anything I have to do?
So, Than, they were trying to change it to where if you had Social Security but were not a tax filer, that you did not have to fill out a form. But what is the best way for Lori to ensure she gets her stimulus check?
So I would say two things. First of all, yes, if they have your up-to-date Social Security forms and direct deposit information, you should be getting it that way. But I would really encourage you, especially as this week goes along, I would encourage you to go to irs.gov. I'm looking at it on my smartphone right now. You can click on what says get your refund status, put in your information, and it will tell you whether or not you need to fill an additional form. And Jordan, the other thing is, I mean, I know that not everyone agrees with this, but I agree with your advice on this. I also think you need to be your own advocate. And if you're not sure, or if you're one of the minority of people that refund status portal does not return a response, I would fill out the form that gives the IRS your current information and let them sort out the fastest way to get it to you. I would give them more than they need, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think so too. I think go fill out the form. Even if you think they have your direct deposit information, go ahead, fill out the form, especially if you have not gotten the direct deposit yet. So check to see if you got the direct deposit. If not, go fill out the form. It's very easy to do at irs.gov, and you can check your status there as well. I pulled it up too just to see. They just need a couple of items from you, and you can get your refund status right there. Let's go right back to the phones. We've got a couple lines open, though, so for our next segment, if you've got more questions about PPE for your small business, for the stimulus checks, for what it means for some of these states to begin opening, and if you have questions about your state, we can answer those as well. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Tammy in Maryland on line two. Tammy, thank you for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for your program. I have a question about the PPP loan. My husband has a small business in Maryland. It's an LLC, and yesterday he got one of these loans, and it was kind of ambiguous because it says that you're getting the loan or the grant, which we're hoping for it to become, for 10 weeks, but it said that you have to use this money in 8 weeks, and then it gave a list of things that the money could be used for, which he doesn't have any of those things or need any of those things. He has almost no overhead for his office. His employees are mostly salaried. So what does he do with this additional 2 weeks of money in order to spend it? Or at the end, if he's only used 8 weeks of money, then does he just owe 2 weeks of money back as a loan, or does he have to pay the whole entire loan back?
So, Thea, this is an interesting question. So you get this, you got the loan yesterday. It says you get the loan for 10 weeks worth of money, but do you need to use it in 8 weeks? I mean, I've heard the 8 weeks. I haven't heard that you've got it's a 10-week loan that you've got to use within 8 weeks. But maybe you've got to itemize within 8 weeks, which is how you'll use it. But there are companies that are saying, you know, we got more than we needed, and they're returning it.
Yeah, it's a great question. It basically comes down to semantics, Jordan. The amount of money that Tammy's husband was eligible for would be equivalent to 10 weeks of income because it's based on payroll. It's based on 4 weeks of payroll times 2.5. And I'm not going to get all the way into the weeds, but Tammy, the reason for that is the money is intended to pay 8 weeks worth of payroll and then 25% of that amount for related expenses. That's why you get an amount that is equivalent to 10 weeks. But I would tell you this, if you don't have other qualifying expenses, at the end of that 8 weeks, the amount that you use towards payroll would be forgiven. And if you don't want to keep the rest as a 4% interest loan, you can just pay it back. There's no prepayment penalty, so you could just give it back to them if you don't want to keep it as a loan. But that's why it worked out that way. And Jordan, I think the other important thing to know is the window of time in which you can apply this extends all the way into July. And you can pick any 8-week window inside that period. So if Tammy's husband is going to have related expenses on top of payroll, say in June or July, he might consider picking an 8-week period that is a little bit later in that window rather than earlier. It's just an option to consider.
Especially as more and more businesses are beginning to open at full capacity. Remember, some of this can go towards rent or mortgage payments for the small business and other costs that Dan said, that 25% for other costs of the business. So again, understand, like we've said, be your own advocate. Part of that is calling in and getting information from us so that we can get you the info that you need so that you can go to the best people and then get the specific advice for your situation. You know, I mean, I think that's what we're trying to do is steer you in the right direction to make the best decision. But you've got to be your own advocate. And I think Than just laid out a few options there right away. We're going to take your calls when we come back. Remember, matching challenge at ACLJ.org. If you're financially able to right now, if you're getting your paycheck like normal right now, make that donation today to ACLJ.org. The donation is effectively doubled.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Secular Live. We're going to take your phone calls in this segment of the broadcast, answering your questions about the stimulus package, the executive order on immigration. Jordan, a lot of issues that we covered today, but our phone lines are full. So you want to go right to the phones?
That's right. I do want to go right to the calls. You know, we covered North Korea. We covered in the situation with Kim Jong-un. We'll keep you updated about that. We covered President Trump, that executive order, which we believe is coming today to ban temporarily immigration to the United States. We don't know what exceptions will be there, how broad it will be, but he tweeted that out last night, so we expect that to come later. So check our social media for that when the executive order is announced and when we get text of that. We can analyze that on tomorrow's broadcast. But then let's get right to these calls.
All right, let's go to line six. Brian is calling from California. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Quick question in regard to the stimulus money. My wife and I file our 2019 taxes jointly. We received the $2,400, but we also have a 19-year-old dependent that we claim. And he received nothing, and I understand that part of it, but it was my understanding that we were supposed to get the $500 for him. He did file his own tax return. I thought it was going to be either or.
All right, well, Than, I mean, this is a situation we've heard of a lot. There may be a fix coming for this. We're not sure. We haven't seen it in the next set of legislation where you've got a son who's files a dependent, but he's also filed his own tax returns. He's older than what the age limit would be for the dependent for the smaller $500 amount. Would he get the $1,200 though, because he's claimed as a dependent?
Yeah, so not as of now. Since he's claimed as a dependent, right, he's not eligible to get his own $1,200. And since he's over 16, they're not eligible to get the $500 for him being a dependent. The one thing that there might be a fix on, though, Jordan, since this is technically a 2020 credit, and again, some people file 2018 taxes, some people 2019, but it is possible that if he's been filing his own taxes, maybe they would make that retroactively available for the 2020 credit. But I just want to be clear, Jordan, as of now, he is not eligible for his own payment, and they are not eligible for a $500 payment for him.
All right, so there you go. I mean, that is the question now. So, again, moving forward, that may be a fix there. But that is a question we've gotten a lot for people who have kept their older children on as dependents who are no longer as children as defined by the IRS code, so older than 16 years old, even if they do file their own taxes. So you don't get the dependent credit for this purpose. You don't get you do get the other tax advantages for having them on as a dependent, but they will then not get the $1,200, even though they do file taxes, and you will not get the additional $500 as of now. But there could be a fix to that. Back to the phones we go. Debbie in California on line three. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. As you know, a lot of us workers lost our jobs, and I don't know, like others, probably when we're going to get our job back, if we in fact even do. Now, I know we're getting a stimulus package money in April, but is it possible that we're also going to get one in May with this new proposal?
Well, I think that with this new proposal, this is about the payment protection plan, hospitals, testing, and it's specifically focusing on that. Than, what is the talk about potentially a second stimulus check going out to the American people?
Yeah, it's not going to be in this package. They're calling this not the fourth package, but kind of the 3.5, Jordan. So they're indicating that there is going to be another package. I think it's gonna pass sometime in May. Again, remember the House and Senate come back on May 4th. Jordan, I don't know whether there will be a direct payment to individuals like this one in that package, but I actually do think that there's a pretty high probability of that, because like you said in a previous segment, Jordan, I mean, the economy is going to come back, but it's not going to come back like a light switch. There's going to be a ramp up. So I do think this will be on the table going forward.
Yeah, and Debbie's calling in from California. That is not one of the states that has got any new information about when they would potentially start reopening anything at all. I know like in Tennessee, that's gotten in a lot of news. And so for 89, I think, of the 95 counties, things will pretty much go back to a reopen. They'll be totally able to reopen. And the stay-at-home order for the whole state will expire at the end of this month. But for the major cities in the state of Tennessee, and just to use an example, like Memphis and Nashville, the mayors there, so and the county governments, may in fact still have pretty strict requirements put on so about businesses and how things reopen. So even when you're hearing that states are reopening, they're reopening pretty limited ways for the most part, and it's really the governors allowing the local governments to start making those decisions. Let's go back to the phones. Carl in California on line 4. Carl, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Oh, hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 75-year-old veteran, Air Force veteran, 62 to 66. And
thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, my vet rep said that even though he set me up with the IRS.gov, and also I've collected my veterans check and a Social Security check. But at that time, he said that I don't have to pay income tax. So therefore, I didn't file for 2018 or 2019, let alone have a PIN number. So when I go online to IRS.gov, it tells me that I fill everything out to the best of my knowledge, but I've been back to this prompt that says, go back to step two, you've left something out. And I've done that about 1,200 times, and nothing is coming up.
So you get is your Social Security check a direct deposit into your account, or do you get a hard check in the mail?
It's a direct deposit, Jay.
So, Than, if it's a direct deposit, in Carl's situation, the stimulus check should also be a direct deposit. I know he's having some issues with the IRS website, and I encourage you, Carl, to maybe go to a tax professional to help with your assistance. But it's supposed to be that if you've got the direct deposit info from Social Security, that Carl should be getting his check that way.
Yeah, this is a win for the Treasury Department, Jordan. They're able to use the Social Security information that they have from recipients. So if he's getting it direct deposited, he will get his stimulus check direct deposited. For those who are getting it via the mail, they will get it via the mail. And Jordan, I would just tell you, 80 million of those direct deposits have hit Americans' bank accounts. So it is working. It's not all going to happen at once for everybody, but just for Carl's situation or anybody else on Social Security, the way you get your Social Security payment, you're going to get the stimulus payment that same way as well.
I mean, like in a week from now, should Carl be concerned, Than, if he hasn't seen the check yet? I mean, what are you hearing from like Washington leaders, from Treasury?
I think this week you're going to see the vast majority of Americans receive it. Okay. If at the end of this week, if he checks his status and he's still getting an error message, then I think that's when he needs to dig a little bit deeper, Jordan.
Okay, Carl, and that's what I think. So again, check your accounts throughout the week to see if you get that deposit. And if not, by the end of the week, take it a step further. Be your own advocate. Sounds like you're already doing that, Carl. We appreciate everybody. Answer as many questions as we can. We'll update you on this legislation tomorrow. We'll update you on if there's any new information on Kim Jong-un and the executive order on the immigration temporary ban into the United States. ACLJ.org. Follow our work and donate if you can. Our matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.